once again, we thank the Lord for what he's doing. He's actually energizing us, is what he's doing. You know, energizing us and quickening us. You know, he's quickening us, bringing life back, you know, quickening us. And then you begin to feel that stirring in your heart. You begin to feel that stirring in your souls. You know that, you know, God is fixing to do something good, you know. And I like that song too, Pearl, you know. Yes, he has done so much for me. Lord, I thank you for doing so much for me. You know, when I look and think of all of your goodness, you know, the psalmist said, look, if I were to speak of it, you know, I couldn't, you know, night and morning and day, I would still be speaking of it because of his mercies and all of his goodness. And then, you know, sometimes it's not because, actually, most times, it's not because we deserved anything, but it's just because the Lord has been so wonderful in his mercy to us. It says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. I'm reading from Psalm 40 and verse 3. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. My goodness. Isn't that beautiful? You know, this is the blessing that God has blessed us with. And that's how great, even in number, his blessings are. That, you know, that's what the psalmist said. I cannot number them. You know, I cannot number his praises. I mean, and his goodness unto me. It's amazing. So, you know, but, you know, when we say it, you know, when we just say, thank you, Lord, you know, it's good. It's good. It's good to say that. There was a story in the Bible where Jesus healed 10 lepers, but only the one returned. And he returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God, you know, and he worshipped him. And Jesus said, well, where are the remaining 9? They will be not found that return to give glory to God, except this one stranger. But this man that returned, Jesus turned around and said to him, thou art made every whit whole. You know, every whit whole means nothing else in his body. Not a single sickness or anything bother him anymore. Not just the leprosy that was healed, but then everything else, you know, on top of that, because he returned to give glory to God for the one thing. And then he got even more. Praise God. The Lord's been good to us. He's been good to me. He's been good to you. And we thank him and praise his glorious holy name. Now, this morning, we want to consider the topic of running over, exceeding abundantly above and running over, you know. And now we are all familiar with those contexts, so it's nothing new. But what's new anytime that the Lord speaks to us is what he will say, you know, and how he will reveal it. You know, the subject may not be new, but it's how he will say it, and the anointing and the grace that he will bring it to us. It's kind of like reading the Bible. You know, I have found that when I read the Bible, listen and meditate on his word, I mean, he'll just, he may be familiar with scripture. Actually, most of it is familiar to me, but you know, something new just come out of there. And it's amazing. you know, how he does these things. It's like a wheel turning within a wheel. The more it spins, the more it spins something out. You know, the more it spins, the more it spins something out. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, good morning again. Let me get started with these declarations this morning, and we're going to pray. You know, as a reminder, you know, we are coming in here every morning to get a new dawn. Every day is a new dawn, the dawning of a new morning. And as we come in here and put more wood on that altar, trusting that the Lord will send that fire. You know, we try to build our own fire, but there is a fire of fires, you know, and when we get it just right, my goodness, he will send his own fire, you know. So we invite him this morning. We invite you, Lord, this morning into our hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to start here at John chapter 9, 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus made this declaration. You know, there are dimensions of this word that he spoke. And if we can, you know, tap into everything that Jesus is saying here, it'll be amazing. He not only says that I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. You know, I love that part of it. Go in and out and find pasture. Glory to God. Pasture. I can just dwell on that for a minute or so. The psalmist was talking about, he leads me to green pastures. You know, I mean, we just find rest to our souls when we come into the Lord. You know, he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But he makes us to lie down, you know, beside still waters, green pastures, and all these things that he does for us. But then he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Yesterday we talked about, you know, you got to know your enemy. You got to know the strategy of the devil before you can actually engage, you know, and fight a fight that is meaningful. So this is a strategy that devil uses. The Lord is revealing it here. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy any part of anything you've got. You know, steal your hope, steal your, you know, steal everything that you got, steal your joy, steal, you know, kill your dreams, destroy everything. I mean, that's just his plan. You know, if he can't destroy it, he'll try to steal it. You try to put a damper on it. If you can kill it or whatever, you know, he uses all of these techniques to try to get us away from the blessing that God has imparted unto us. So, but here is Jesus' antidote for that. He says, but I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He's talking about life for his sheep more abundantly. Now, everything that God does, and this is where we're going today, this will be our declaration today. You know, everything that God does is in abundance. He doesn't want us to just have barely enough of anything. You know, the Bible says that we should abound in grace, abound in good works. You know, abounding always in the things of the Lord. I mean, it's always abounding, you know, abounding, abounding. Now, the Lord wants us to thrive, not just survive. So that's the prayer that we're going to be praying today. He wants us to thrive and not just survive. And there are many places in the Bible where we see that God does things in abundance, running over. Glory to God. Psalm 23 and verse 5 tells us that. He said, the Lord anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. I mean, what does he really mean for something to run over? You know, what does he mean to run over? Well, let's consider how things run over and the way God does it. You know, Luke chapter 6 and 38 talks about, you know, good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. You know, some of you who are in the room here, you know, you go to the market. You know, you go to the market. you know, I know in Africa they do this a lot. You know, when they're weighing out those grains to you and everything, you know, you are not satisfied unless they press it down, shake it together, put some more in there, press it down again. Because they'll try to just trick you and just, you know, make like the thing is full, but it really isn't full. You know, you got to press it down. You got to, you know, shake it together, get some more room in there and put some more and so on until it runs over. You know, so that's how the Lord does his things, you know, press down, shaking together, running over. Wow. Everything about God, even the things of his kingdom. We're not just talking of natural things only. The things of his kingdom. That's the way he wants it to be. He said to the man from the very beginning, this was his blessing out of his mouth. Be fruitful and multiply. You know, multiply causes increase and it eventually overflows. You know, Isaiah said of him in Isaiah 9 and 7, he said of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. I mean, it's just overflowing. It's just increasing. It's constantly increasing and it's just overflowing. And we have this scripture. We love, you know, everyone loves this scripture in Ephesians 3 and 20. You know, our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. I mean, look at all the adjectives that he uses there to describe these things. You know, the thing is exceeding. You know, exceed means, you know, it's already overflowing. You know, I mean, if you start putting water into a cup, after a point, you exceed its capacity. It'll start flowing over. If you go to the gas station and you're putting gas in your car, you know, and, you know, if you don't stop when it should stop, it's exceeded its capacity, then it'll start overflowing, you know, but not only overflow a little, just listen to it, exceeding abundantly and above. So you take a peek. Everything from God is just like that. You know, exceeding abundantly above. But for the most part, what do we have? Most of the time we have just enough. It's what we have. Just enough. But that's not what God wants us to have. He wants us to have an exceeding abundance of his substance, of his spirit even. John chapter 7. Verses 37 to 39 says, you know, Jesus was talking about, you know, the Spirit of God. He said, out of his belly shall flow forth. Now, it's not going to be contained only in his belly. Yeah, it'll fill up his belly, but it'll begin to flow forth rivers of living water. You know, so, you know, filled up, but then overflowing. That's the way everything is to the Lord. I mean, that's how he does his work. Everything that he does. I cannot overemphasize that. you know, because that's what we're going to be praying about today. You know, so in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon was praying, you know, when they dedicated the temple, when he was dedicating the temple, and he was praying, you know, and he revealed some things to us, you know, about God, you know, that we should know. He said, look, in verse 27, he said, will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens. I mean, just see how he described it. You know, behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him. You know, how much less, you know, this house which I have built for him. He cannot be contained. Good morning, man of God, Clifford. I welcome you. I see you, Sister Samantha, as well. We're just talking about the goodness of God, how it's in abundance and not just barely enough. How God wants us to thrive and not just survive. And we're going to be praying and declaring that over our lives today. The heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built it. You know, we're talking about, you know, we can't bottle God up in something. You know, we can't even bottle God up inside. We've got to be a channel of blessing and allow him to flow through us like a river. You know, we need to flow. There is a river, the streams whereof makes glad the house of God. A river is constantly flowing. The streams, you know, are flowing, tributaries and different things just flowing. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 66, you know, and verse 12. You know, there, you know, remember that God is infinite and he has infinite supply of not only everything, but even his grace, his peace, everything. Just flowing, you know, nothing stagnant and nothing barely just enough. It's abundance, you know, we may abound unto every good work. We may abound in the grace of Christ. You know, he said, for thus said the Lord, I will extend peace to her like a river. Oh, well, let me just say that I will extend peace to you like the river. Glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. My goodness, you know, it's just a river, you know, things are constantly moving. Things are constantly happening and it's overflowing. You know, once you get, you know, once you fill up, it overflows. Don't stop. You know, the challenge with us is we always stop. I always like to give this illustration about God being the ocean. And whatever we have from him being a bucket that we can go to the ocean and you can take your fill. But, you know, he's just always still the same. There is not a single dent that you can put into the ocean by bringing a bucket and taking some out of it. You know, you can come as many times as you want. It still will not be depleted, you know. And, you know, so why bring a small bucket? Why not bring, you know, a huge whatever that you could use to suck up all you got? You know, Elisha, he said to the woman, what do you have, you know, in the house? He said this and that, you know. So, you know, when they go to bring the next pot and it is, there's no more, then it stops. But as long as they could bring a pot, it was still flowing. It was always flowing. And God always wants us to flow. He doesn't want us to stop. You know, when we are on a roll, even the joy that God gives us, You know, he wants this to be overflowing. Everything about the Lord like that. You know, let's take a look at 1 Peter, you know, chapter 1 and verse 8. It talks about, you know, the joy unspeakable and full of glory. I mean, it's just bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. You know, it's not just contained. It's bubbling. Psalm 16 and verse 11 talks about, you know, fullness of joy in his presence is fullness of joy. Well, let me talk about that presence and digress for a minute and just talk about it. You know, this is not the universal presence of God that he's talking about here. You know, because God is everywhere. We all know that, right? You know, but, you know, if God is everywhere, even the psalmist in Psalm 139 says, you know, you go down to hell, wherever, you know, you can't run away from his presence. Well, and I often say, if God is everywhere like that, you know, how come we don't have, you know, fullness of joy everywhere we are? If his presence is everywhere, yeah, fullness of joy, because he really says that his, you know, his presence is fullness of joy. But there are two kinds of presence of the Lord. Let me just drop that in here right now. There is the universal presence of the Lord, which is called Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is everywhere. You know, that's his universal presence. And then there is his revealed presence, the consuming presence of God that brings unspeakable joy. The first one, which is universal presence, you know, which God's universal presence everywhere in this world. But is there fullness of joy everywhere in this world? Of course not. There is evil everywhere you turn. There's wickedness everywhere. You know, that's not the fullness of joy in his presence. But there is a presence. There is a presence where you get that fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And that is, you know, that's everything that God wants us to have. You know, fullness of joy, abundance everywhere. You know, everything about God is like that. You know, God is not, you know, just, you know, enough. Barely enough. No, he wants us to have abundance. Praise God. You know, and if we can get that abundance, you know, the peace of God, he said, which passes all understanding, you know, all understanding. I mean, it just keeps coming. There's more to it. Philippians 4 and 7, you know, I mean, God's substance for us is constantly flowing and God's constantly doing things, you know. God doesn't stop. He has never stopped. You know, one time they asked Jesus, why do you do these things on the Sabbath day and so forth? You know, why? You know, they said, you know, you don't know how to obey the law. I mean, you're just doing stuff that you should not be doing on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, look, my Father walks hitherto and I walk. You know, that means his Father is not yet stopped working. Hallelujah. We can read it in John chapter 5. I think maybe around verse 17 or so. Let me see if I can pull it up. So, you know, there is this, everything that God does, He constantly moving. Praise God. You know. So, yep, that's it. John 5 and 17. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What does that mean? Jesus is basically saying, my Father never stopped working. You know, I mean, many of us think that, you know, God stopped working. You know, 6 days, he did these things. And then on the seventh day, he rested from all his works. You know, God never stopped working, you know, and, You know, and people often actually thought that God was tired. You know, tired is the reason why he rested on the seventh day. Because, oh, he did all these incredible things, you know, and now he's tired. Well, you know, I challenge that concept because in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 says, you know, hast thou not known and hast thou not heard, you know, the everlasting God. He is neither weary. He never gets tired. There's no such thing. He's the Almighty God. He could never have gotten tired. That's a myth that we have been told, you know, in religion, you know, that in religious circles that God got tired. So he rested. No, he did not get tired. Rested means he came to a halt. He finished. It's the same verb that was used on Mount Ararat. The ark rested on Mount Ararat on a certain time. He came to a stopping point. And why did God stop? It's a little digression, but it will help us understand what God has imparted to us. Why did God stop? You know, why? You know, as God, you know, and as I like to explain it, at the creation, God was imagining things. I'm creating them and calling them forth. And everything that I'm just using human language now. Everything that he imagined, he called it forth. You know, so finally, he imagined himself. That's right. So when he imagined himself, he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Glory to God. Now, that was the peak. That was the capstone. That was the height. That was the climax of, you know, his creation. You cannot do one better. you can't. After he imagined himself, say, I want to make man just like me. You know, so he was done, you know, creating everything. It was just done. It wasn't because he was tired, because he has achieved it's the epitome. It's the climax of his creation. The greatest part of his imagination was to imagine himself, that he wanted to reproduce himself in man. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And when that was done, he said, yep, you know, Adam, you got this. You got this. So he stepped back and put everything in Adam's lap. You know, he wasn't tired. God was never tired. God is never tired. He does never weary. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. But he ceased from his works. Because the man had arrived. The man is here. He's got everything that God gave him. Genesis 2 and 7 said the Lord breathed into him. And he had the total package. Put everything inside of him. And so God said, yep. Yeah, he got this. You know, so comes to Adam and say, hey, Adam, what are you going to call this one? Because you got this. What are you going to do over here? And whatever Adam said went. And he said, look, just flourish, multiply, you know, increase, do everything and have dominion. You know, and the increase was supposed to have been of no end. That was the plan. The increase was supposed to have been of no end. Adam was supposed to have been bringing forth, you know, godly seed, just like himself. He was created in the image of God, and he was, you know, he should have been bringing forth. God wanted God kind, not mankind. But Adam couldn't do it through disobedience. In Genesis chapter 5, we are told that Adam brought forth a man in his own image. Where did the image of God go? You know, wow. Genesis 5 and 2, you can read it there. He brought forth a son in his own image. You know, God wanted him to bring forth sons in God's image. You might say, well, he was created in the image of God, and so he brought forth somebody in his own image, maybe by transfer. No, they already lost. There was something broken there. You know, That's how they became mankind, which should have been Godkind all along. But when we get back there, the power that was invested in Adam is back in us for a continuous supply. Continuous, you know, I mean, it just keeps going. He never stops. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. You know, he doesn't stop, you know, and neither should we. There is much more, you know, to God where whatever it is that we think we know came from. So today we're talking about abundance. You know, the abundance of everything, you know, that God gives us. It comes in abundance like that. You know, God, you know, the steadfastness of God never faileth. They are new every morning. New every morning. I mean, it's like, it's just constantly, you know, so we should never stop. We don't want to stop, you know, at, you know, whatever it is that we thought we got. You know, we don't want to stop. We want to keep going because the Lord is the one that, you know, is the source. And when we're connected to the source like that, you know, there is never any shortage. People have shortages because they disconnect, you know, from the source. You know, when we disconnect from the source, you know, then we have shortage. But if we are connected to the source, it's like Psalm 1 says that, but he shall be like a tree that's connected, planted by the rivers of living water, that's always oozing out some blessings too. And that tree will never stop producing, you know, always bringing forth. His leaves shall not wither, you know, he's never out of season, you know, and everything that he does will continue to prosper. And because he is connected to the source like that, praise God. So, you know, that's where we want to be. Now, I have a few more things to say, but I will in a few minutes, but I'm going to stop right here. And I want to just pray for a minute because, you know, I'm praying and I'm trusting that the Lord should open our understanding to get this. You know, when we get this, you know, and we understand this abundance and overflowing presence of God that can be in our lives for everything too, spiritual, material, physical, everything. It's an abundance. It's running over. He never wants us to just survive. He wants us to thrive. He never wants us to have barely enough. He wants us to have running over. You know, so I am going to just stop for a minute and pray because I feel something in the spirit that we are not quite getting this. And I pray that the Lord will help you to get it. We want to become just like him. Just like him. In his hands, everything is an abundance. You can put two loaves and five fishes into his hands. You know, no problem. You know, he can just bless it, turn it into thousands, a meal for thousands. I mean, that's who he is. Everything about him is in abundance. You know, he said, look, Andrew, where are we going to get, you know, bread to feed these people? He already knew what he wanted to do, you know, but, you know, they say, oh, we don't have anything except this little lad's lunch here. And the little lad said, well, you can have it. He can have it. That was something that his mom packed for him to go in the crowd. Just his sack lunch. That's all it was. For a little boy. You put it into the hands of the master. He's got this thing in him. It's called the source of everything. You know, when he puts his hands on it, you know, it just multiplies. It's an abundance. It's overrunning. Not only the 5,000 people eat, they gathered fragments, 12 baskets left over, you know. I mean, it's like, and I tell you, so a secret too, God put the same anointing upon the disciples. Many people have not thought about that, you know, because the blessing came from Jesus into the hands of the disciples. That's it. You know, Jesus blessed it and he gave it to the disciples. Jesus never gave it to the crowd. It was the disciples he gave it to. It was the disciples that gave to the crowd. As a matter of fact, the increase, the overflowing was happening in the hands of Peter, James, John, Philip, and all the rest of them. It was happening in their hands. It wasn't really happening in the hands of Jesus. But Jesus just put a blessing on it and put it into their hands for the overflowing. Think about it. It's not that hard to break a loaf into 12 pieces. You know, I can do that. You can do that. So that's no big miracle. I can break a piece of bread into 12. That's very easy, and hand it to 12 people. You know, you can break a couple of fishes into 12 pieces and hand it to those guys. It's nothing, you know, extraordinary about that. But because he put a blessing of the source of increase and the source of overflowing, he put that blessing upon that thing and put it into their hands. That's the revelation here this morning. Partners with Christ in supply and overflowing. The miracle happening in the hands of Peter. I mean, Peter had just a little piece in his hand, and as he gave it to somebody, he just kept increasing. It just would not deplete. That was happening in the hands of Peter, not in the hands of Jesus. Just think about it. So Jesus did his part. He's done. He just moved on. Blessing gave it to the disciples and moved on. This is exactly where we are today. He's already blessed it. What is in your hands today? Put it in the hands of the Master. Father, I pray for revelation. Even now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, put thy spirit into people today, that we may understand this. Lord, put it in our hearts to understand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the cycle of creation, the cycle of blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Put it in our hearts to understand this morning. In the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says that, you know, God is even constantly creating. You know, when he holds his hands, you know, all the things in the sea died. And then he revives and they are created again. My Father walketh until now, so I walk. He never ceased and he never stopped. You know, so, and nobody ever understood what Jesus meant by that. Your Father walking until now, and then you walk. Well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus told them, look, I don't care whether it's Sabbath day, this day or that day. My Father never stopped working. That's a revelation for us here today. Because everybody thought that God stopped working. But Jesus said something to the contrary. You know, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. And I gave that scripture in case anybody's just coming to the room. You can read it in John chapter 5, and I believe it was verse 17. And this was when they accused him of doing something on the Sabbath day, because you can't do that on the Sabbath, you know. And Jesus said, look, Sabbath day or not, my Father is still walking. Glory to God. Because he's walking, I am walking. You know, because the Son can do nothing of himself. What he seeth the Father do, you know, that's what the Son does also. The same chapter, he talked about all of that. you know, just in verse 19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. But whatever he seeth the Father do, you know, that's what the Son does likewise. And that should be our posture as well. We can do nothing, you know, but whatever we see him do, John chapter 16 and verse 13 will tell you how that works. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will show you things to come. You know, what is yet to happen, because God has already done it in the spirit realm. And it is yet to happen. When the Holy Spirit shows it to you like that, then you can walk in that and do the same. When God was doing whatever he was doing, Christ was flowing in the same way. God the Father, Christ was flowing in the same way, and then he was doing it. He became a conduit of whatever his Father was doing. My Father is doing, I am doing. Whatever he's doing, I am doing the same. You know, God is the creator. I mean, never for 1 minute think that, you know, his creative power has ceased. Never. He's always constantly. He can never stop, you know, because there is this thing about him, right? You know, he can never stop. He's always moving. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. You know, I want you to think about that. He has never stopped. Even when it appears that he's silent, something is always cooking, you know, because God never stops. It's always going. And he wants us to be connected to that source that will give us abundance and overflowing. It'll give us running over. And why? Why is that necessary? Well, because we are called to be a blessing. You know, the running over is not just for me. You know, I'm already full, but I must run over for, you know, so somebody else can tap into it. You know, we must run over so somebody else can tap into it. You know, that's the reason why we are blessed. When God gives us more than enough, it's not just for us to consume it upon our own lusts. It is because, one, two things. Well, he's not only going to bless your bread basket, which is what you are eating now. He will also bless your storehouse, which is, you know, enough for the future. But, you know, you can be able to overflow to others. So when God gives us more than enough, it's for us to save up. Some people don't know how to do that. But also, it is for us to be a blessing to others. You know, what was the story that we saw in the story of Joseph in Egypt? For 7 years of plenty, you know, how things were just increasing abundance. I mean, they built the barns were filled, they had to build other barns. They filled up some cities. You know, those who are filled, they went to other cities. I mean, it was just an abundance. You know, it was just filled up. But the Holy Spirit already revealed to Joseph that, look, after all of that overflowing and abundance, there was coming a famine that would be so harsh that people would even forget the years of plenty. And he brought a secret to people. So I'm teaching now on managing the abundance and managing the overflowing, you know, in the physical. Yeah, we don't need to manage it in the spiritual, but in the physical, managing that, Joseph said, look, let Pharaoh save up 20%, one-fifth of all the increase in every year. And there is a secret and a lesson there. Some people don't know how to say, you know, but, you know, when the God gives you an increase, then you go out and on a shopping spree. Every time you get a raise, you got to go on a shopping spree and spend everything. You know, we are commanded to be a blessing. God wants us to be, you know, speaking about this, you know, in our local church a few weeks ago, said, look, wants you to be favor magnets, but you got to know how to manage that favor. So I'm bringing the two sides today. There's an overflowing when you are connected to the source, but then you got to know how to manage it. If you don't know how to manage it, like Joseph was teaching them, you know, and they, because of the incredible spirit of counsel that was upon Joseph, he was able to bring, you know, that understanding to save the world almost at that time, because he knew how to manage the abundance. You know, when there is an abundance like that, when there's an overflowing like that, if you don't know how to manage it and you squander it, some people come into fortune, you know, sudden fortune. Well, we know the scripture says that might fly away, but, you know, especially when it is gotten hastily, but, you know, come into it and then squander it like the, you know, prodigal son. He came into sudden inheritance hastily and he went and squandered everything. Just squandered it all. And mismanagement of his resources. Even though he had an abundance. I mean, he had an overflowing. I mean, he was oozing wealth and he was just everything around. He was just spending, flashing, you know, flashing everything, just spending and so on. Ostentatiously, just doing everything until he ran out and began to be in want. So while we must stay connected to the source for a continuous overflowing, we must also learn wisdom on how to manage that overflowing. Now, anytime God gives you more than enough, there's a reason for it. You know, and he always gives us, you know, this message is to instruct us on how God will give us more than enough all the time, not just sometimes. But the message will not be, the teaching will not be complete unless we also instruct how to manage the excess, exceeding abundantly and above. Now, how do you manage the excess? How do you manage the excess? A lot of people come into a lot of wealth, and then, but the latter end, when it comes suddenly like that, the latter end is even worse. You know, and I've wondered, I've seen it even in public figures. I've seen it in some, you know, boxers and some prize fighters. They earn a lot of money. They can earn 20 million in one night, you know, and then a few years down the road, you look at their life and you're like, where in the world, what happened to all that money? You know, and they are back to being paupers. You know, look, God wants to give us an overflowing of abundance, but he also wants us to have sound judgment and counsel in managing the resources. Prudence. If you don't manage the resources, then you began to be in want, even after God already supplied. There may be times when it's flowing, and there may be times when it stopped flowing, but the times when it stopped flowing was because either God has made preparation for someplace else, or maybe he's already giving you more than enough, but you didn't keep it, you know? So, well, God will always supply. And then we must use wisdom on how we are going to manage it. So today, we are going to be praying. And we're going to be declaring and moving in this realm of overflowing. All of the realms of the spirit, physical, material, however you want to call it, finances, you know, even your health. He says your health shall spring forth, you know, speedily. I mean, Isaiah 58, your health, everything, everything about you, it be in an abundance. God will give it to us, but we must manage it right. Glory to God. And the same thing goes for the grace of God in the spiritual. We must tap into an overflowing of his presence. And when that joy begins to bubble in your heart, when that you know, anointing of, I mean, you just can't shut up. You know, the way to get more is to keep dishing it out. Praise God. You know, and even in natural blessings, it's the same way. If you can give it away, God will always find a way to get it to you. That's right. Yeah, so you can take note of that. If you know how to give it away, God will find a way always to get it to you. Because now you are a conduit. You are a blessing. You know, but you don't have to give away everything that God gave you and then begin to be in want. You know, we're not talking about that. You know, some people do that too. They don't have the wisdom. They don't have the understanding, you know, and, you know, they get cajoled into giving away everything they have. You know, I have been on this app right here where I heard a young lady that said she went somewhere and they asked, went to a room and maybe they asked them to sew or something. I don't know what language they used. And she gave everything she had, and then she began to be in want. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? You know, that's not what I'm talking about today. You know, that is foolishness. And then afterwards, she began to pray. Then she came into another room, and, you know, they should be praying for her. And people are praying, and then people are trying to raise money for her. I'm like, what kind of prayer is that? You know, that's not, that is foolishness. That is no wisdom at all. You know, God never asked anybody to do that, you know, so that's not what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about you giving away your rent money and then become, you know, later on being in want just because somebody smooth talked you and made merchandise of the people. There's a lot of people that have been made merchandise of like that. They tell you that, oh, if you give $1,000, you know, God will bless you. I'm not even talking about that at all in this room. You know, that's all nonsense. You know, God will bless you already anyway. You know, that's what I'm talking about. He has already blessed you anyway. And after God has blessed you, out of the abundance of what God bless you, you can feel free to give. It's not the other way around. The subject of tithing came up in Genesis chapter 14. First time ever. First time ever. And there is always the law of first mention. The law of first mention says that Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And, you know, and called the blessing of God over him. And after that, Abraham gave him a tithe. It's first mention. So we see the order in which that happened. First, a blessing. And then he gave him tithes of all of the blessing. So it's not the other way around. You know, don't give anything in order that you hope that you are going to get. That's not how it works. That's trickery that people use. And the people that tell you that kind of thing, and I'm saying it like this, hopefully it will help somebody. I never plan to say this today, but maybe it will help somebody. So the trickery that people use to get people to give money and say that's how you're going to get an overflow. I'm not talking about that at all. You know, if that's how they're going to get an overflow, then why don't they give the money and they get that overflow? You know, so, you know, the Bible says that if you teach somebody, if you teach and you don't do, you will be the least in the kingdom if you make it even at all. And these people that are out here making merchandise of people, I promise you, they will be the least in the kingdom because they are not doing what they are teaching. If the way, you know, to get a blessing is for you to give, why don't the minister himself give so he can get a blessing? So, if you want me to give you $1,000 so I can, God can bless me, why don't you give $1,000 away yourself so that you can get that blessing? Practice what you preach and do it that way. So I'm not talking about that at all. Let somebody just hear briefly and say, oh, he's talking. No, I want to, you know, call that out, lay that disclaimer right here. Not talking about that at all. This room is not about you giving your finances for anything. No, it's about you flowing in the blessings of God. God will instruct you what you want to do afterwards. You know, so don't let anybody say that, you know, I said they should give so that they can get. I never said that. You know, God will give you first. And then, you know, out of what you, because you can't give what you don't have, folks. Out of the abundance of what you have, you know, then you give tithes to God or whatever you want to give, you know, because he has already blessed you. You know, that is how it works. You know, so, you know, let's not, you know, turn things away and say some other way, you know. So if you wish to read more about that, you know, just go and see the story of how, you know, Abraham and Melchizedek and all that. You can read it in Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek in verse 18, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest of the Most High God. And when he blessed Abraham, he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand. So God blessed him first. You know, this figure was God. Read it in Hebrews chapter 7. It says, you know, figure of God. You know, and after he was blessed, then he gave him tithes of all. So that's the order in which it works. All right. So now that I've established that, I wasn't talking about that, you know, be a conduit of blessing nonetheless. You know, don't be a lake. Be a river. Be a river that overflows. You know, Jordan overflowed his banks at different times of the year. You know, be a river that overflows. Overflowing your banks, you know, to others so that others may be blessed. You know, when once God is blessing you and putting this blessing on your life like this, it's not for, you know, just self-gratification only. It is for us to bless others as well. Praise God. So that's what I am talking about today. But we're going to go into prayers and declaration in the room right now. You know, the beauty of the Lord is that when he speaks and we hear it and we do it, it leaves a blessing. You know, but if we don't do it, you know, then we will be heirs of the word, but not doers of the same. But we don't want to be like that, you know. So let's be a blessing. But first, you must be blessed. You know, so, you know, in the book of Psalm 46 and verse 4, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. This river is flowing. It's coming. It's flowing. Everything in its path. We covered this the other day when we read the story of Ezekiel 47. When that river was flowing, it said everything it came into contact with was healed. You know, that was a blessing flowing with that river. It's just everything it came into contact with healed. And that's a blessing in your life. You know, the when you are connected to the source like that, that's why Jesus, everywhere he went, he was always doing good because he was connected to the source. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our admonition today. Stay connected to the source and let everything, you know, that God pours into you be a blessing, not only to you, but also to others, you know. And as God is doing it, let me read this to you this way. You know, verse 8 of Ezekiel 47 says, these waters issued out his country and so forth, and go down to the sea. And when they are brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth and moveth where whithersoever the rivers shall come. This is Ezekiel chapter 47 and verse 9. Everything that liveth and moveth, whithersoever these rivers and this overflowing shall come, shall live. Glory to God. And there shall be a great multitude, a very great multitude of fish, because these waters came there. That's right. You know, so the blessing God already put upon you. Jesus has blessed you to be a blessing. Jesus blessed the little boy's lunch and gave it to the disciples. Now it's left to the disciples now to give it to the crowd. Jesus said, now, give it to the crowd. Praise God. You know, command them to sit in companies. And after they sit, now give it to them. So the thing that Jesus puts in our hands, he now commands us to give to others. It's a blessing. And everywhere you go, a great multitude of fish. You know, this is both natural and spiritual. You know, because these waters shall come thither, they shall be healed. And everything shall live wherever the river cometh. I mean, quickened, give life, you know, things that are even dead. This blessing that's flowing inside of you, this overflowing, you know, in order to be like a river, you know, you got to be overflowing. Things are coming, you're just, you know, moving on. We're not just a lake that's just, you know, receive everything and then no flowing. And then the next thing you know, the lake starts to breed deadness, stench, algae, and all fungi and all of these things because there's no flowing. But a river that's constantly flowing, you're not going to find any dead stuff in there. It's always flowing, always flowing. They connect to the source and they are flowing through. And everywhere it goes, it's healing things along its path. It's bringing joy. A river that streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. Let this yet your life be that river out of your belly. Let it flow for those rivers of living water. And out of, you know, everywhere you come into contact with, let there be a blessing. A blessing for yourself, a blessing for your family, even where you work, just because you are there. The Bible says just because of Joseph, because such an anointing of blessing was upon him, you know, the God began to bless the house of Potiphar. Everything that Joseph did, even when he went to the prison, you know, was always flowing, and eventually flowing and flowing and flowing him to the top of their kingdom. The blessing is upon you. And God said, I have blessed you. No one can curse you. That's what Balaam found out. He said, look, there's a blessing on these people. You cannot change it and you cannot reverse it. So the blessing of the Lord is upon us. And his blessing is with you in the name of the Lord Jesus today. And he will bring goodness. He will bring mercies to you through this blessing. And you will be a source of blessing, not only to yourself, to your family, to your community, to the body of Christ, everywhere. And remember, Proverbs 10 and 22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. All right. Now we're going to go into prayer.